Welcome to this edition of When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine, a discussion of sustainable living and what that means to you and me. I'm Jay Warmke.
I'm Annie Warmke.
And today we're going to talk about getting started creating your own homestead, or living simply can be pretty complicated. So
it can be.
It can be complicated.
I never thought that.
Well, I think a lot of people have this view. They have this fantasy of, I want to step out of the reality of our situation. I want to build myself a little homestead. I'm going to maybe raise some chickens, have a garden. And they have that vision, but trying to make that vision a reality is hard work, right? I mean, it becomes essentially a business. And as we've talked about before, you have to have a plan. You have to have a business plan to make the simple life a reality.
Well, let's back up for a minute, because you're getting way ahead of the game here. I think the reality is that we haven't learned to live life as if it is the whole picture. And that's what having a homestead is. It isn't just about, I go to work from 9 to 5 or 9 to 6, and I've got an hour to transport myself there and an hour to come back. So I'm going to have 10, 11-hour day. This is about living your life. So it includes your work, your play, your spiritual practice, everything that we talk about in almost every episode.
So it's like, what do you do for a living? Well, I live.
That's right. Exactly what this is about. But it's also important to recognize that I need a guide in this culture in particular to show me how do I stay focused on not just how do I make a living, but how do I make my life be the way I want it to be. And so the first thing is really to say, all right, I've got this dream. And I like to talk about the fact that I've been walking to this place all my life. And I think I decided that as a young girl living on a farm and hating it because I'd been a city girl. And I had a very strong confrontation with my father, and I ran across the pasture and into the woods, and I sat behind a tree, and that was the first time in my life that I had escaped him and felt like, whoa, wait a minute, this is going to work out. I've got sanctuary. And I think that's where the dream began. I was 15 years old. So I felt like I wanted to be where I am today most of my life, and I've been working towards it.
So what you have to do is say, first, what is the dream that I have? You know,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of people can't articulate that. They can't visualize it. They just say, I don't like being where I am. I want something different. Well, that's not good enough, right?
No, because lots of people are unhappy, and they think if they just change something, it's going to make a difference. But in our hearts, we learn, even as very young people, that we have dreams and cares, but they kind of get taken away from us in the pursuit of money. And that's what this culture is all about, that one word, money. We must pursue money. And so we decided, you and I decided, quite a long time ago, that we were going to have a plan for aging. And our aging came up to like a lot younger than we thought. But anyway, and so we created...
we got old early, right?
No, we just decided we'd had enough of our culture early, and we really wanted to try to figure out how do we move forward in our dreams. And so the first thing we did was create a mission.
Okay, well, before we get to that, I do want to say that we do talk a lot about people who come visit and interns and the folks who we run across, and I always like to say there are two types, you know, the people who are running away from something and the people who are running towards something. Well, you have to know what that is that you're running towards, because that's the positive end of it. That's the motivation. Say, I have this vision that this is where I want to be. And that's the step that I think a lot of people lack. They do not concretely form in their own mind or on paper, as you're getting to with the mission statement, this is the ultimate goal. This is the prize. This is the thing we're moving towards.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I think people dream because that's where they escape to. But I think the real thing that's missing is the how-to. Because once they create this dream in their head, whether they're 10 years old living it at 50 or they started it at 50, they might as well be trying to cross the Grand Canyon with one giant step, because they don't see how to make that dream become reality. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is how do you take something you really, your soul really is demanding of you, and it's healthy and it's good for you to take that step. It's not, you know, drug addiction or a red sports car. This is about a real spiritual journey of who you are as a person. And then how do you make that become reality? So some of that is about making money, but most of it's about all the other stuff we're going to talk about.
And the other trap I think people need to avoid, and we see this a lot as well, is the fact that you've articulated that you're going to do something is not the same as actually doing it. You know, you may feel better because you've said, all right, you know what, I'm going to quit my job. And I'm going to buy a little cabin and I'm going to do these things. Whew, that's a relief.
Yeah, you now know, I've done that. Let's go on the next thing.
Well, guess what? You actually
have
to
do it. That's right? Correct. So the thing is that it takes a lot of support and it takes a lot of care and it takes a lot of planning to successfully live the dream that you have. And it, especially if it isn't about everything making money. So I want to be a billionaire by the time I'm 30. That is not what we're going to talk about today. What we're going to talk about is how to get started in the life that you want to live.
All right. So step number one, you've formed this thing in your mind. What's your next step?
You hope you have. I think just the basic idea of it is enough.
Everything morphs and changes.
Yeah, you have to be able to see it. And one of the things that's really good is to write it down on paper because the brain then has it sort of in indelible ink and it keeps reminding you of what you said you were going to do. So the first thing we did was create a mission statement. Mm-hmm. And when we did that, we also involved our child because she was going to have to deal with it too. And at the time, I think she was about 8 or 9. And we drew pictures and we said, what will it look like? And all that kind of stuff. And what we came up with was the very first thing, besides the fact that we wanted to reuse and repurpose and respect and recycle, was we wanted first and foremost to, do you remember?
Have fun.
Have fun. And that's the beginning of the mission statement.
Well, and the mission statement ended up evolving in kind of a, you know, it sounds trite, but it's been quite guiding. Is saying we will only do what we want to do and have fun doing it.
And we won't work for other people.
Well, that's kind of a
no-brainer.
A requirement.
Well, and I do think that the have fun part really has helped us to succeed because I know there was a time in our business when as homesteaders and farmers and teachers, educators or whatever we call ourselves,
gurus, that's my
all
name,
right, and writers and mentors and
demagogue.
Okay, well, goddess, that's all right. That's my
okay
title.
Goddess, so
all right, goddess,
spit
Annie.
It out,
all right, so so what we did was I said look, I'm not happy here, I'm not having fun doing what we're doing. We were doing well. We were able to pay whatever bills we had. It wasn't like we weren't enjoying the actual doing, but what we were doing wasn't making me have fun.
It had gotten old.
Yeah. Well, it got old in a lot of ways, but I just wasn't having fun. And so the minute I realized that, I said to you, I'm not having fun. And you looked totally shocked and you said, I said, I want to do something else. And you said, but wait a minute, if we give up this part of our business, it's 50% or even 70% of our revenue for the year. And I looked at you and said, I'm not having fun. And if I go on strike or I decide to quit, you won't be having fun either.
Well, you said it's outside our mission, and so we shouldn't be doing it.
Did I?
Yes,
oh, yeah, did. I did say
it's
that.
It's very businesslike.
Yeah, well, I can be that way.
And then you pitched a hissy fit.
No, I didn't pitch a hissy fit. But we are a corporation, and so we need to run it like it's a corporation. Every relationship is like a corporation if you hold assets and you have goals and a place you want to be. So anyways.
So that's basically like the next step of this is be honest with yourself. Be honest that, you know, you may say, I want to go out there and build straw bale houses, which is the one thing we were just talking about for our business. And then you come up to a point, you go, you know what? I don't like building straw bale houses.
Well, I do like building them. I don't like building them with other people.
Yeah. So you say, all right, I had this vision. It turns out either immediately or over time, that vision changes. You know, be honest with what is your motivation. A lot of people say, I want to live in the country, I want to live with nature, but they don't like nature. You know, they don't like that experience.
The other challenge is that it's a partnership. And so I had been saying, I didn't hit on the I'm not having fun until the end, but for 2 years when we did our annual planning, I said, I don't like this. So we had tried to morph it into some other things that would be more agreeable to me. And so I just want to point out that we were trying to compromise and figure out what to do because we knew we were making a living. But then I said, look, I've got a plan. So I didn't just say I'm not having fun, but I've got a plan. And I have this idea that what we could do is to pull together a focus group, a focus weekend, and we would get some friends and a couple of family members and some of our former interns, and everybody would come for the weekend, and we would just show them everything that we have as resources, including the river that's nearby, the towns where people could eat, ice cream places, mm-hmm. things like that. And then we would sit down and say, here's the problems and challenges we have. And you said, okay. So everybody wanted to come. It was very helpful. It was, in some cases, embarrassing and nerve-wracking because I said things like, we've built these little cottages, these little bedroom cottages, and I don't want to be the innkeeper. I don't like waiting on people. I don't want to clean up after people. I made a promise to myself as a kid I wasn't going to do that as an adult. And that was hard to say, and I was teased a lot in the meeting. But what happened was everybody looked at everything, and they gave us amazing feedback. And what they said was, the things you're thinking about doing, do it. Just cut the work you're doing and just go for it, starting in the morning, Monday morning, 8 a.m.
So what you're saying, okay, this is almost like an executive MBA program here. Create your mission statement, develop a business plan, pull together focus groups. This sounds so clinical, but we're doing this.
It's not clinical.
Well.
It's your tribe is helping you.
Right.
You're asking people to tell you the truth. You're being honest, even though it's difficult. And then things change. And so what ended up happening was, it's just we'd been overlooking things. The next day, by the end of the workday, we had enough business for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. And it was in the place we wanted to be. So we didn't hang back. We were still anxious about how it was all going to work. But then we said, look, we have resources. We are smart. We trust each other. And so we're going to go forward.
Well, you mentioned the resources. The people that we pull together, the people that anyone can pull together, those are some of your resources. Who do you know who can help you? If you don't understand finance, who do you know that can help you with that aspect of it? If you don't understand planning, who do you know that can help you with that?
That's right. And you need to make a list. You need to write down. I think you should start with the first of five names that are people you can call on, who you can trust their opinion, who are going to be honest with you, and put those names in writing, because guess what? When you're in trouble or you can't, or you're upset or tired, you won't be able to think about, all right, who should I call or who should I connect with? And that is an important resource.
Well, this is the way the big boys play the game, right? They know their buddies from Eton or wherever, Harvard or wherever, and then they just pull them in and says, look, I have this problem. Help me out, buddy. You know, I mean, so you're drawing on a resource.
Well, I didn't go to MBA. I'm from the School of Hard Knocks, but it makes sense to me.
Well, there are other people who went to that same school. So
I know it.
Draw on them. And then you can evaluate whatever special skills you may have that you can draw upon.
Well, I think you have to start with what you have to sacrifice to make this happen. I mean, being honest and getting other people to help you do that, because you're going to sacrifice a lot of things that you really maybe not even can see in the picture.
Okay, well, we'll dig a little deeper into your sacrifice. But first, I would like to say that you are listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke. Reminding you, it is in fact the end of the world as we know it.
And thank God.
Thank God. So we were just talking about what you need to sacrifice if you want to make your dream a reality, about simplifying your life. You know, we've talked about moving to a homestead or whatever, but it may just be, I want to simplify my life. I like my job. I like where I live. But there are too many distractions, too many complications. How do I simplify? So you don't have to build a house out of tires and move out into the woods to find your dream. Your dream might be, I just want to have more time to read.
Or be with my family, or mm-hmm. not
or
have
be
to work
away
too
from
too.
My family.
So. Yeah, I hear that a lot. Uh-huh. But again, it's really about understanding how your life really works versus how you think it works.
So what are some examples of sacrifices that you might face if you decide to make these major changes?
Well, having less money, but then you are supplementing with other resources, like you can sit outside and eat lunch. You can take time to walk your dog or be with friends or, as you said, read a book, that you are creating spaces for other things in your life besides the pursuit of money. And sacrifices, I mean, one of the big sacrifices that we've had, which I don't think we really saw over time would be the issue, but is lack of broadband. It sucks. We really feel it holds us back a lot. We found some ways around it, but so we had to really say, all right, we don't have broadband. And
but that becomes a reality of where you're living. I mean, we could make comment about socially that's not fair, that some areas receive and some areas don't. But it's the same kind of thing of living on a road with potholes or being isolated.
Okay, but these are all things you should be able to identify.
Yeah, because say, this is a reality. I am limited because of my geographic location.
Because it could influence a lot of things. You might not even have the ability to have a landline. So then how are you going to do business if you don't have access to mobile phone where you live? And but it also could be an emergency issue, and maybe you have diabetes. Or again, it's just being honest, evaluating every single thing and saying, all right, what will I have to sacrifice if I give up my new vehicle for a used vehicle? Do I have the ability to maintain that myself, or will I have to build a budget around a mechanic that I can trust?
And some of the sacrifice may be those people that are in your life. If you make major life changes, some people are going to fall away. Either they're going to reject you because of your position, or they're going to reject you because you no longer have a position that they felt like
especially was. Especially if you're a nice looking white boy.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think that's exactly what happened.
Some people, you know, use their friendships because, not because they like the person, but because what can I get from that person? That person has status. Yeah. That person has access to certain things I want. When you decide I no longer want to be an executive of some big company, there are some people who are going to go, well, then you've got nothing I need.
Well, the other part of that, though, is that people cannot imagine, and this happened in our own lives, people could not imagine why we would give up the corporate life with the vehicles and the travel and the
status,
luxury.
Money, all those things.
And they thought we had embezzled money or something. We're like, wait, we don't even know how.
If only we had.
We didn't know how.
That would have been so helpful.
So I don't think so, but it's funny to think about. But so, again, there are lots of things that you just really don't think about. But then the other issue is that a lot of us have excuses about why we don't want to give these things up. I know often people have come for the weekend to do different workshops and things, and I'll say, well, where do you want to be in 5 years? Which is generally shocking to most people. They've not thought about that. But the word that comes back is divorced. It's like, yikes. But the truth is, if you don't have good support from relationships, including the person that is most meaningful in your life, and that could be a parent, it could be an aunt or uncle or a cousin or a mate, then it's not going to happen, because you've got to make too many changes if you want to really live more simply and live, and if you're looking at kind of homestead.
Well, if you are in a partnership, whether that's married, cohabiting, whatever, if you don't both have the same goals and agree upon those goals.
Well, at least the major goals.
Yeah, you're going to be pulling in different directions.
Yes.
It's going to be 100 times more difficult.
The next thing I think that people have to do, and this is super important. I mean, I try to think about this each year when we're getting ready for annual planning, and that is, what excuses do I use for not setting or meeting my goals? So, you know, like time, that's always a good one because it's sellable.
I'm too busy.
Yeah,
I'm
too busy
to focus on this now. I'll just wait until this next project, or I'll wait until my kids leave the house, or I'll wait till school starts.
For me, I just am like, I'm not in the mood. That's that I got to
be in the mood. Well, hopefully that's temporary. You know, it may change. But if you say, you know, I'm going to wait until I retire, then I'll figure it out. I mean, we've seen a lot of people who are facing retirement age. And you always go, so what are you going to do when you retire? And they just look dumbfounded, like, not work.
Yeah.
You know, and say, well, that's not actually – doing something, that's not doing something. So how are you going to fill your time? What is going to motivate you? You know?
Well, the flip side of that is when people say to me, when are you going to retire? And I have the same look on my face because, wait a minute, I've got a lot of things I still want to do, and I'm enjoying my life immensely, and I don't really have a frame of reference for that. So at some point, I know I need to slow down. I think I'm working at that a little bit. But again, it requires setting goals for that, which I've done. And I think we talk about this often, about as you age, setting goals for slowing
down. So why would you retire when you're living the dream?
Well, because I won't have to stop living the dream, but I'm not retiring from my life.
Well, it's a term that doesn't mean anything at this point.
Well, not
because
for
if
me.
You're already saying, I am doing what I want to do because I want to do it, what is retiring from that? That doesn't make any sense. It's almost nonsensical.
Most people need to back off from what they're doing, especially
if they hate their jobs.
Manual
they're doing
labor.
It just because of what, you know, just for the money. If all you're doing, if every day you're working just for the money, then of course you're going to look forward to the time when you no longer have to do that.
Right.
Well, but then the question to ask yourself is, why are you doing that?
All right. Well, that could be sort of elitist in that
I'm an elite.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, some people work because that's the only choice they have. So there's a lot of different socioeconomic answers to that question. But anyway, let's move on and talk about evaluating
But you were saying, what are some of these things that stop you from preparing? We've said people do stop from preparing, but what is it that stops them? You've just mentioned one of, I have to have the money. The question is, do you really have to have the money? You know, there alternatives to buying whatever it is that you said you want to buy?
Well, there are lots of solutions of, you know, people living together, intentional communities, people sharing resources. There are all kinds of ways to transition into living on less, but I don't think it's very well thought out in our culture. And so people think it's all about the individual, and I'm going to retire and I'm going to take care of myself. And unfortunately, for a large number, a percentage of the population here, they're not able to retire, as they say, and stop working. And that's a whole nother discussion. So anyway, mm-hmm. So let's talk about how to evaluate your resources, because if you're thinking about... if you're thinking about how to have a more fulfilling, simpler life, or you want to make some changes in terms of vocation that's not going to pay as much money or you'll have as many resources, then it's really vital to say, all right, how can I figure out how this will work? So the first thing is to make a list of 5 people that you can count on. Now, this isn't the same list that I talked about before. Those are people that you're going to network with and ask information from. But these 5 people are like the people you trust most in life. So you would be at the top of the list, Jay. And then...
For on everybody's list?
No, at the top of my list. And it's
right.
A nice list. It's not the list you're in trouble
with. This isn't the naughty list. This is the nice list.
No, it's the nice list. So 5 people that I could call on if I've got an emergency, or I'm having a brain flu kind of day, or I'm really stumped about this accounting issue, any of those kind of things. And then also evaluate resources that you have around special skills. So maybe you have carpentry and you haven't really done much with that. Or maybe you're a good planner. But really be honest about, what are these skills that I have that I can bring to whatever plan I'm going to create for myself?
Sure. It could be even, we've known a number of people who, I like to design websites. This is something I can do remotely. I don't have to work for somebody else. I can create my own little business. It doesn't have to be great, huge. That's one of those cases, though, where you probably want to settle somewhere where you have broadband.
I'm just thinking that. Mm-hmm. But I remember when we were young, you said your dream. You heard this guy talking on NPR one morning, and and he was talking about being a writer, but he was a carpenter. And so he would work in the morning as a carpenter and then write in the afternoon. And that was kind of the dream that you were walking towards. And I think that's a lot of the way that we live, is doing the things that are necessary in terms of projects and, you know, maintenance of the farm and things like that. And then we have other time where we write and do other projects that we find to be fun or in a you know, more of a spiritual kind of thing. So, but the way that happens is by identifying what are our skill sets and then what are we lacking. So if we have skill sets that are really helpful to our job and what we want to do, and then we have skill sets we've identified that are needed, and that's the next list. So I don't know anything about how to wire a house, and maybe I want to rewire an old building. So I'm going to have to either make friends with somebody who knows how to do that or identify in my support group somebody who can do that, or I've got to identify that's a need and I've got to do something about it. So, and what do I like and what do I want to do? That's the next thing, is what are the things I like? And then what of those things do I really want to do? What do those play, how do those play into my overall dream of, for in your case, of doing carpentry and building in the morning and writing in the afternoon or vice versa.
I think you also have to be honest with yourself. At least for me, it's come to. I may love writing, right? But I don't want to only write. You know, I may love to do some carpentry, but I don't want to be a carpenter. You know, I like installing solar, but I don't want to just install solar. So you may have to be honest with yourself and say, I need a variety of things. You know, I need to set up my life in such a way that I'm not just being overwhelmed with one aspect of those things I like, because you may come to hate it at that point.
Right. Well, because it becomes something else. But the other piece of that is that it's important to know that in this culture and this economy, you have to have several skills that you're developing in your life so that when one job goes away, and again, this isn't working two jobs like McDonald's and Wendy's. This is saying that in my life, as I live my life, maybe I do have carpentry skills or electrician skills. And so I can have different projects that I do that pay me or I'm able to use resources for. And then lastly, I think we have to say who will benefit from this plan that I'm beginning to put together. You know, it's not just about me, but who are the other people and other communities or whatever? How will they benefit from what I'm about to put together and want to do with my life?
Okay, well, we've touched a little bit on how to get started in making your dream a reality. So let me just close by saying you have been listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke. We want to thank our Emmy Award-winning producer, Adam Rich. And thank you for spending just a little bit of time with us. And as your grandmother probably, hopefully, and for sure, probably, hopefully, told you, the secret to a happy and sustainable life is...
play nice with others, clean up your own mess, and Jay, please eat your vegetables, okay?
That's the dream.
Okay.
Till next time. Bye-bye.
Mother Earth will sing, and her children will be healed. Come out, see the morning glory, blossom in the night. Know the sky's dancing in twilight. Soon we'll be together, all will be revealed. Mother Earth will sing, and her children will be healed.
You can find more information on living sustainably in our unsustainable world at BlueRockStation.com.